This program has been described by AudioVision. For information on over 400 video and audio titles, call toll-free 1-866-966-7667 or visit our accessible website, www.audiovisioncanada.com. The contents of this program are protected by copyright and may not be duplicated or used for any commercial purpose without the express written consent of the copyright holders.
This program has been described by AudioVision Canada. A horse-drawn wagon rumbles slowly down the dusty main street of a sleepy town in the Old West. Old-timer Nash Crawford rides up to the saloon and stops by a mule hitched to a rail. As he dismounts, he spots a sign hanging from the saddle of the mule, property of Gentleman George Agnew. Do not remove. Inside the saloon...
Yes, sir. It's a sporty game for sporty people. A lucky game for lucky people. Every winner goes to dinner.
Nash walks in and watches.
No pleasure, sir. Hit me.
Gentleman George adds the nine of spades to the card player's five of hearts.
Did I hurt you, cousin?
The player flips over the ten of spades.
Don't call me cousin. That's a ten straight hand you won.
Well, that's got to stand out as my record in this town because I've got to leave.
The card player slowly rises.
Maybe you gotta go, cousin. But that money ain't going nowhere.
Nash walks over.
I don't get it, mister.
Nobody beats me ten straight hands less than he's cheating.
I wasn't cheating. What do you see me get out of here, partner?
When Nash puts his hand on George's shoulder, George looks up, surprised.
He said I was cheating.
Trouble is, you got a difference of opinion here. And that ain't worth having no shooting over now, is it?
He called me a cheater.
Oh, well. Well now, sir. Might you just entertain the notion of maybe telling my friend he ain't no cheater?
No.
I'm afraid I just can't help you, Wyatt.
The card player's eyes widened. Puffed up with confidence, George rises to face the mortified man.
Your name, Wyatt? That could be a possibility.
I could draw in you. You'd kill me.
Then that would make it 11 straight times I'd beat you fair and square.
Think maybe you can entertain that notion now?
Yeah, I don't think you're cheating.
Thanks a lot. Let's go, Wyatt.
All right, Virgil.
Gathering the money off the table, George turns and follows Nash over to the door.
Wyatt.
Yeah.
Your draw really as fast as they say?
George glances at Nash.
You want to see it? Just a demonstration.
George whips his right hand down and up without touching his gun. The card player's mouth drops.
Want to see it again?
As the card player watches dumbfounded, George and Nash step out of the saloon and onto the sidewalk.
Nash Crawford, if you ain't a sight for sore eyes.
Yeah, well, too many more of them kind of card games, and that's the only thing that's going to be sore.
Oh, Sergeant, I just got my knack back with the cards again. That fella in there couldn't prove I cheated him. I'm sure glad to see you anyway. You got the dangest habit of showing up at the bestest time.
Well, I didn't track you down just to get you out of a gambling mess.
No?
You remember the Baltimore Kid?
The Baltimore Kid? Sure, remember when he first come to Texas. He was dressed to kill and ready for action. Couldn't ride or row, but he sure handled a six-shooter good. A little better than you did.
Yeah, well, I got this telegram yesterday.
Huh?
The Baltimore Kid being held in Waco jail on murder charge. Town in ugly mood. Kid needs help to assure he gets fair trial. Better come at once. Signed, a friend.
Kid in jail for murder? Ah, that don't sound possible.
I know it's got to be a big mistake, George, but men have been hanged before by mistake. We got to get to Waco and see that the kid gets a fair trial.
Yeah, it does say the town's in an ugly mood, don't it?
Yeah, and that might call for one more ranger. Say, we can swing by that old folks' home and pick up Jason, huh?
Oh, come on, Nash. Let's face it, even if we do pick up Jason, just the three of us. Of course, we're all rangers, but we're so far over that hill, I can't even remember seeing the hump.
You scared, Judge?
No, I ain't scared. I'm just... I'm just cagey. Maybe you're forgetting the last time we all got together.
All right, granted, I was wrong to face that man head on. But I learned, we all learned to use our wits. We cleaned up that town, remember?
We did with a heap of luck, yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm willing to risk my luck again, especially when it comes to helping a former ranger.
You got me that time, Sergeant. Yeehaw! Brazos!
Brazos!
Thomas Spelling Productions Incorporated presents...
Nice, you a cagey old coot. Coming in that saloon and calling me Wyatt. Suppose that fella hadn't went for it. Or why didn't you just call me Herb?
Come to think of it, that would have been a whole lot more fitting. Let's ride.
The Over the Hill Gang rides again. Starring Walter Brennan. Guest stars Edgar Buchanan. Andy Devine. Chill Wills. Special guest star Fred Astaire as the Baltimore Kid. Co-starring Parley Bear, Walter Burke, and Paul Richards as Sam Brain. Featuring Lillian Bronson, Jonathan Hole, and Lana Wood as Katie. Director of Photography, Fleet Southcott III. Editorial Supervisor, L.B. Cuniberti. Assistant Director, Hal Galley. Costumes, William T. Zaka and Madeline Silos. Music Editor, Ken Johnson. Sound Engineer, John V. Speak. Recorded by Glenn Sound. Production Manager, William A. Porter. Production Supervisor, Norman Henry. Executive in Charge of Production, Ronald Jacobs. Music by David Raxin. A woman plays an organ at the Happy Hunting Retirement Home. Associate Producer, Andrew Brennan. Executive Producers, Aaron Spelling and Danny Thomas. Produced by Aaron Spelling and Shelley Hull. Written by Richard Carr.
Forever hold his peace.
Directed by George McCowan.
Do you, Jason Fitch, take this woman to be your lawfully wedded wife, to love and cherish from this day forward?
Sure. I mean, I do.
And do you, Louise Murphy, take this man to be your lawfully wedded husband, to love, honor, and obey?
I do.
Will you please place the ring on her finger?
Ring? Oh, yeah, the ring.
The best man hands the ring to nearsighted Jason.
Place the ring on her finger, please.
Jason squints and puts the ring on the parson's finger.
No, Mr. Fitch.
Now do you understand, Reverend, why I insisted on a rehearsal?
I certainly do.
Well, that's what's got me so nervous, all this rehearsing.
No, Jason.
But it's true. If you're going to tie a horse up to a rail, you don't lead him in first to see if the wood's strong enough to hold him. Why don't we just do it now and get it over with?
I told you, dear. My mother was married on the 15th, and it's always been my wish. Now, that's tomorrow. Surely you can wait one more day?
Well, at my age, that ain't a cinch bet.
Besides, Jason, we're going to have our stag party tonight.
Yeah. Are we through rehearsing, Parson?
I'm Louise.
Oh, yeah.
I think we've rehearsed sufficiently.
Good. Then all you stags out on the front porch. You ladies keep that way by staying away from our wild doings.
On the front porch, the stag party is in full swing. Except it's the rocking chairs that are swinging. As Jason and a half dozen old codgers sit side by side and rock back and forth while staring blankly at the night sky.
Reckon it's time for refreshment?
Reckon so.
The best man reaches down and lifts a jug off the floor.
3 months old corn.
That aged, huh?
Jason takes a long swig.
Ah, you can sure tell the stuff they take their time with.
He gives the jug to the next old-timer, who quaffs a mouthful before passing it on down the line.
When do you figure we should start the entertainment?
Well, how about now? Whiskey and women, they go with this sort of thing.
The best man reaches into his pocket.
Well, here it is. Direct from France, Europe.
He holds up a postcard.
And that thing she's wearing is called a negligee.
You don't say.
Jason tries to focus on the naughty photo, but all he sees is a blur.
Feels kind of worn.
Well, that's because it's been handed down through the family. We're all bachelors.
When two men on horseback turn a corner and start down the street, the old geezers look up.
Who's coming?
Don't know them, but one of them's riding a mule.
A mule?
Nash and George ride up.
Hey, Jason!
George, that you?
Yeah, and I got Sergeant Nash here with me.
Hello, Jason.
Well, I'll be. You come from a wedding, didn't you? Well,
I don't know about that, Jason. We got a message for you. Brazos!
Jason stands up and salutes.
Brazos!
Nash and George salute back. Later...
I'm trying to understand, Jason, dear. I truly am.
I know it's going to be hard for you, Louise. But once a ranger, always a ranger. When I heard that word, Brazos...
And that I don't understand, Brazos. What does it mean?
Well, it's a sort of a code word. It means ranger in trouble. It means drop whatever you're doing, no matter how important, and come a running.
I see. And whatever you happened to be doing was marrying me.
Louise, we ain't got much time. I have to go. Man's got to do what he's got to do before he settles down to a life of luxury.
Luxury?
I figure marrying a pretty little thing like you make me the richest man on earth.
Oh, Jason.
She hugs him affectionately.
Time's a-wasting, my love. You promise to wait for me?
Of course, but you go on now, before the tears start. And be careful, my love.
He kisses her on the cheek. Then he salutes, turns, and marches into a table.
Don't be careful!
He recovers.
Don't worry, my dear, I will be.
Then walks into a buffet. Before finally finding his way out the door. The three old codgers hit the trail.
All you Texas Rangers, wherever you may be, I'll tell you of some trouble that happened once to me. Our captain, he informed us one dark and stormy night, before you reach the river, boys, you'll have yourself a fight.
Eventually, they arrive in Waco and ride down the bustling main street.
So this is Waco, huh? Are we there?
Let's stable our horses, then we can look for the jail.
They canter over to a livery stable. As they dismount, a stableman welcomes them.
Hello there. Will you be staying long?
Well, that all depends. We hear there's going to be a big trial here in Waco.
Trial? What trial?
The Baltimore kid.
Oh, him.
Yeah, him. What time's the trial set for?
Well, it was to come up Friday next.
What? Was?
There's no need to hold him now. They took the kid out and lynched him the night before last.
Nash looks at Jason, who swallows hard.
I'm afraid you boys missed the fun.
What happened?
Well, a bunch of drovers broke into the jail, dragged the kid out, and they hung him right from the loft here. Oh, it sure drew a big crowd. Yes, near the whole town looked on.
It did, huh? And nobody tried to stop it?
Stop it? Oh, no, sir. Not after what he done.
Just what had he done, fella?
The kid and his gang held up the Fargo office here and took over $10,000.
The kid never rode with a gang. No.
And he didn't take money that weren't his, neither.
He did a heap sight more than just hold up the Fargo station here. He killed the town marshal and his deputy and the ramrod of a trail herd that was here in town. It was the drovers from that herd that took him out and lynched him.
Without a trial?
Well, once the facts was known, who needed a trial?
Why don't you just give us some more of those facts, Shorty? Yeah, we want to know exactly what happened here to our friend, the kid.
You're all friends of the kid?
Anything wrong with that?
No. I just remembered that I have a mountain of work to do inside. If you're looking for more information, just go down there to the newspaper office. The man will tell you down there.
All right, come on.
The three old-timers start down the street. When they reach the newspaper office, they go inside.
What can I do for you?
A rotund man turns from the printing press to greet his three visitors.
Well, howdy, man.
Judge Amos Polk, ain't it?
Ex-judge. Thanks to your efforts.
What the devil are you doing here?
Devil's own bidding, I'll wager.
Well, I've gone straight. I'll have you know that this newspaper business is a legitimate enterprise.
Well, it better be, because we come to get some facts.
Yeah, I know about the Baltimore Kid.
How'd you know that's what we come for?
Because I'm the one that sent for you to come.
You?
Yeah. Well, after the kid and his gang killed the marshal and the others and the rest of them run off, somebody got in a lucky shot and dropped the kid with a scalp wound. I was the first one to reach him, so I took his wallet.
Well, that's like you.
Just to identify him, that's all. Well, anyway, they took him to jail, still unconscious. Matter of fact, he was unconscious right to the end. He never did come to.
Yeah, well, that still don't explain why you sent for us.
Well, it's all right here.
Amos walks over to a filing cabinet and removes a wallet, then returns to the three men.
Here's the kid's wallet, his badge, newspaper clippings about the old days. And here's this note. In the event of my death, my last wish is to be buried as a Texas Ranger with some of my former comrades in attendance. Please get in touch with Nash Crawford. He'll know what to do. And your address is right there. And when I saw how ugly the town folks was getting, why, I sent the wire for you.
Well, I apologize for thinking ill of you, Amos. You've done your best. If we got here sooner.
Yeah, they'd have had a fight to take him.
Yeah, what's done is done. At least we here to see if the kid's last wish is granted. I reckon the body's over at the funeral parlor, ain't it?
Well, not exactly. You better come with me.
Amos leads the men to a grave where they read the Baltimore Kid's headstone.
Lynched for his murderous ways.
Baltimore Kid.
That's a lie. Of course it's a lie. I can recall 100 brave deeds that man done.
He was a real gentleman.
And a gravestone big enough to record half the good things the kid done.
I wish I'd have known him.
Now here he lies in Boot Hill with a marker like that.
I don't know how the rest of you feel, but I could stand a good, stiff drink of whiskey about now.
At the saloon, barmaids carry beer mugs and whiskey glasses to gambling tables. The four old-timers sit at one table.
Mind the time the four horse rode down the Pecos after them engines?
Here, and the kid was right out there in front, like always.
Come on, Jason.
Jason pours George another shot.
Feels kind of empty. I'll go get another one.
Jason gets up and heads toward the door.
Jason.
George grabs him.
The bar's over this direction. Yeah, I'll point you. It's due north.
Oh, thank you, George.
Jason heads straight for the bar and manages to reach it without bumping into any tables.
Bottle of these.
Another bottle.
A skinny drunk with a gray mustache leans on the bar.
And another bottle. Those are beautiful words, my friend.
Yeah.
Jason glances at the drunk, then squints to bring him into focus. He adjusts his glasses and leans in for a closer look. The drunk slips in and out of Jason's focus. Jason turns and heads back to his friends at the table.
You know that time when we came down there and hit the date?
Yeah.
Where's the bottle?
I forgot it. You know, grief can do a terrible thing to a man. I swear I just saw the kid standing at the bar.
That drunk had a beard on. He swears Abraham Lincoln. I'll get the bottle.
George gets up and heads for the bar. He picks up the whiskey bottle, glances at the drunk,
then does a double take. Bug-eyed, he leans in for a closer look. The drunk ignores him, peering blankly into space. Bewildered, George turns and heads back to his friends.
Jason. Grief can play tricks on a man. Swear that drunk at the end of the bar looks just like the Baltimore kid to me, too.
Nash turns around in his chair and eyes the drunk at the bar. He turns back, astonished.
Where's another round of drinks?
Never mind more drinks, you dang fools. Grief ain't playing no tricks. That there is the Baltimore kid.
The four old geezers stare in amazement at the disheveled drunk with the gray mustache. Unaware that he's being watched, the drunk yawns and stares bleary-eyed at nothing. At the newspaper office, Amos lights a gas lantern that hangs over the printing press. He shuffles over to the front door and opens it.
Bring him in.
Nash helps the Baltimore kid into the room, and Jason and George follow behind.
Easy now, please.
Easy. That's right. Easy does it.
Yeah.
Is this the place where they're giving us free drinks?
It sure is. Amos, how about that coffee?
Coming right up.
The kid sits on a stool.
Coffee? Who said anything about a coffee?
Now don't you worry, kid. It'll do you a lot of good.
Coffee never did anybody any good. You promised me some liquor.
We said drinks, now. We didn't say what kind. Look, kid, we gotta get you in shape.
Kid?
Yeah.
How come you call me kid?
That's your name, ain't it?
Yeah, nobody here in town knows it except one little lady, girl.
We know it, because we know you. Now look here. Don't you know us?
Maybe we swapped out of some saloons together or something, maybe.
We was all together, but far from swamping out saloons. Think back about 20 years.
20 years? I can't think back. 1 year, much less 20 years.
Don't you remember being a ranger?
How do you know I was a ranger?
Because we was rangers right alongside you.
Yeah?
Don't you know him? That's Sergeant Nash Crawford.
Nash? Remember me? Jason Fitch?
Oh, come on. I'm Gentleman George. That's a fact, kid. We're all back here together again.
For heaven's sakes. It is a fact. Or else I'm drunker than I ever been.
Next morning, the kid prepares to shave while Nash and George watch.
Still feel kind of shaky.
Yeah, well, yeah, give me that. He's shaping up real good. I'll go get you some more hot water.
Nash hands the kid a leather strop.
I'm sorry you fellas had to find me in this kind of shape.
Well, I'm just glad we did find you.
Nash hones the razor.
It's a long time since I left that gun shop in Baltimore to go west.
Nash hands him the razor.
I remember we couldn't figure out how come you knew so much about guns. You showed us all them medals.
Wow.
The kid starts shaving.
I used to be able to hit the head of a nail at about 50 feet. Now I'd shoot my foot off.
What happened, kid, after we all broke up?
Oh, I marshaled for about 10 years.
Oh, yeah, we all done some of that.
It was easy getting those jobs with my reputation, you know. And then when that started to fade, so did I. Pride, I guess. I started hitting the bottle. And not like most drunks, to forget the past. I try to forget the present.
Don't worry, kid. Jason went out to buy some new clothes, and when we get you all spruced up, nobody's going to recognize you. Then we'll go over to the mayor.
The mayor?
Well, sure. He's the only one that can change the gravestone legal, you know.
Oh.
You don't want folks thinking the Baltimore kid is buried there.
George returns with a pitcher.
Listen, Nash, and you too, George. I want you to know how much I appreciate what you fellas are doing for me.
You do, huh? George? What do you think of this yahoo?
Think he's getting downright sentimental. You want me to douse him?
As George lifts the pitcher, the kid grabs it and spills some water.
Hey, you give me that. Yeah. Spill it all over the place.
A while later, the front door of the Palace Hotel swings open. The Baltimore kid, looking dapper in his new duds, steps onto the sidewalk along with Nash, George, and Jason.
Well, I'm glad nobody's going to be able to recognize me, because I sure couldn't recognize them.
Well, you look great, kid.
I remember how you looked back in the old days, kid. Just great, like right now.
Thanks, Jason. You fellas shouldn't have spent all this money. I don't need a gun.
We wouldn't want you running around town with a six-shooter and your gun belt. You'd be half-naked. That's what you'd be.
It does feel kind of natural. I wonder if I could still use it.
He draws his gun.
Well, it don't matter. We just wear them for balance. I took mine off once and toppled over.
Amos waddles across the street to join the men.
Well, you're just in time. Mayor's waiting for you over to my office.
Lead the way, kid.
Me?
Just like always.
Like always.
Come on.
The four retired rangers follow Amos across the street to the newspaper office. Amos opens the door and leads them inside.
Your Honor?
Standing behind the printing press, the mayor looks up and takes off his glasses. He walks over to the men.
I want to present four of the finest Texas Rangers that ever served our fair state.
Well, I'll declare. Gentlemen, this is a pleasure. You know, I had no idea why Amos got me down here. But I want to tell you that I am always proud to meet any ex-ranger at any time.
This is Gentleman George Agnew.
Mr. Agnew, how do you...
Jason Fitch.
Roger, sir.
Nash Crawford.
How do you do, sir?
And the Baltimore Kid.
Very happy.
The mayor's face drops.
I beg your pardon.
The Baltimore Kid. At your service, sir.
Amos, this must be some kind of a joke.
Oh, it's no joke, Your Honor. This here is the genuine Baltimore Kid. That man that drove us lynched was an imposter.
Well, I find that difficult to believe. Amos, didn't you find his identification in that wallet?
Well, the faker had his wallet, but the fact is it weren't his.
No, sir. It was mine. I must have lost it.
Now, I can vouch for these three men, and if they swear that this is the real Baltimore Kid, then he is the real Baltimore Kid.
Oh, well, I'm not doubting you. I just find it... Well, I'm surprised, to say the least.
Well, a lot of folks are going to be surprised when they learn the truth. That's how we want you to help us, Mayor. Authorize Amos here to print an official story. Then get rid of that lion gravestone up on Boot Hill.
Of course. By all means, of course. Well, so you're the Baltimore Kid.
Yes, sir, that's me.
I can't tell you how relieved I am. Personally, I mean. You know, you was always one of my big heroes, and when I heard you'd gone bad, well, it was a terrible blow.
It's mighty kind of you to say that, Mayor. I wish I could have stopped that rotten snake from using my name.
Yeah, well, I bet you would have, too, if you'd only been here.
Well, I wouldn't have exactly been standing around doing nothing.
We sure thank you, Mayor, for your cooperation.
Not at all, gentlemen, not at all. I thank you for restoring one of my heroes back up onto his pedestal.
Mr. Mayor.
Amos, we better get started on that story, huh?
Oh, right, right.
Amos
right.
Waddles over to his desk.
A Baltimore Kid. You know, for years, that was a name that brought a glow to every heart in Texas. And it will once again, after Amos prints that story. Say, you know, your turning up here like this could be a godsend to Waco.
A godsend?
Exactly. Waco is a mighty mean town. Why, we get the roughest, toughest trail herds in the West through here. It takes a mighty strong lawman to handle the problems here.
Kid, I think the stableman's got a horse.
Hold on, Nash. I don't think the mayor's quite finished.
No, sir. Indeed, I have not. You know, we can't go out and hire just any man for marshal. No, sir. We've got to have a name that those drifters and gunmen respect. Why, half the success of this job is respect.
Not the one you gotta have respect?
Whole lot to respect. For a dead man. He was one of the three got killed in that robbery.
Oh. Mayor, that's very interesting, but
we gotta be moving on.
Just a minute, please, gentlemen.
At ease, men. We must show the mayor a little respect. I like that word, respect.
Nash gulps. George and Jason frown.
Well, if anybody's got respect, it's the Baltimore Kid. And I mean the real Baltimore Kid.
Now look at here, Mayor.
Sergeant, now the mayor has been kind enough to hear us out and cooperate, right?
But if he's getting at what I think he's getting at...
Sergeant, I believe I was next in command to Captain Hayes.
Nash swallows hard and bows his head.
Yes, sir. What was that you were saying, sir?
That Waco needs law and order. And it takes a man of great stature to fill the job. I know of no man who's ever lived who has greater stature than the Baltimore Kid.
As the kid puffs out his chest, Nash grimaces. At the stable, George pays Tom the stableman.
1, 2, 3. Back, I guess that does it.
24 hours, $1 apiece. I thank you, sir.
Mm-hmm.
George walks over to Nash and Jason.
Sarge, I guess we're free to go.
Are we?
Yeah, we don't owe anybody in this town.
You sure about that, George? What about the kid? Don't we owe him? Don't forget, in a lot of ways, we're responsible for his reputation.
Reckon.
Now, let's be reasonable, Nash. We came here, we helped the kid get back his name, but we got personal business to attend to. Me? I gotta get married. And that's as personal as you can get.
Yeah, and I got a red-hot poker game I'm raring to set in on down in Del Rio, Texas.
Sure. We all got our own lives. But did you ever think why? I'm alive because the Baltimore Kid one time charged a pack of Comancheros and sprung me from a certain trap.
Well, I guess you're right. I wouldn't be around today if it hadn't been for the kid back in my play down in Austin. You looking down the business end of 2 6-shooters alone.
Yeah, I got lost one time out in the Badlands. No food, no water. The captain stopped sending out search parties for me. But the kid didn't give up. He showed up with a canteen and a sack full of beef jerky. Tasted like Delmonico steaks.
Yeah, all right then. You say we're paid up in this town, but are we? The kid went and took out that badge as town marshal.
Well, it's like the mayor said. Reputation is half the job. The kid's got a reputation.
Yeah, half the job, George. Half! That means 5 out of 10 will back down if he faces them. But what about the other half? Let's face it. We got a one-day reformed drunk wearing new clothes. Now, are them fancy clothes going to help him with some buckle who never heard of the Baltimore Kid?
I reckon not, Sergeant.
And how do we know he's giving up the booze for good?
Well, the hard fact is, I got to talk to the mayor. Tell him to send for somebody else.
And until that somebody gets here, the kid will have to fill in.
All right, we'll fill in with him. There's deputies.
Whatever you say, you're the boss, fella.
Well, they ain't gonna be forever. But if we stick with him through this, he could just get his confidence back.
And he could get himself killed, too.
Yeah. Come think about it. What chance has he got? Or what chance we got, for that matter?
All right, a slim chance. I'll grant you that. The kid's puffed up right now, and that could be dangerous. We'll have to do our job. That is, me and his, without letting him know.
Well?
Amos strolls over to join the men.
Well, I come over to say goodbye. First edition's all printed and will be out in 2 hours.
Well, Amos, you can add a few lines to that story.
Yeah.
Oh?
Yeah. Print that the new marshal will have 3 X-Rangers as his deputies.
Yeah.
You mean that 3 of you are staying?
Yeah, we'll explain it to you later.
Right now, we got to find the kid and tell him.
Well, that shouldn't be hard to do. He's celebrating his new job.
Where?
Over at the saloon.
What?
At the saloon, the kid chats up a young woman in a frilly dress.
Hey, kid.
Nash, Jason, George, and Amos walk in.
Excuse me.
The kid gets up and joins them at the bar.
Well, welcome. I want you to meet a very dear friend of mine.
Never mind the dear friends. What about the old ones? What about your promise to us?
Promise?
Yeah, that you wouldn't go drink no more.
I'm not drinking. I was just chatting with my lady friend.
Nash glances over at the young woman. She returns his gaze. Nash looks back at the kid.
You know, we did jump at conclusions.
I'm afraid you did, Sergeant. You must realize that it's my duty as marshal to check up on the various saloons in town.
Maybe I could go along with you.
I thought you were all leaving.
Well, the truth is, kid, we wondered if you'd do us a favor.
Why, any time, Nash. Anything, you just name it.
Well, we'd kind of like to stay on a while and, you know, get that old feeling back again.
Yeah, sort of bask in your reflected glory.
Be your deputies.
Deputies?
Of course, you'd just be doing us a favor. We wouldn't be much real help. You'd sort of have to carry us, you know.
Say no more, Nash. It's done. As of now, you are my official town deputies. I'll swear you in myself. And be sure you put that in the paper, Amos.
Yeah.
All right, you better get at it. Huh?
Oh, right away.
Amos shambles out.
I'd like you to meet Miss Katie Whalen. Katie was the only one who took an interest in me when I was working here as a swamper. I've had a hard time convincing her that I'm that same fellow.
Oh? That was mighty nice of you, miss.
Oh, the kid always was sweet and kind, even when he was drunk.
Those days have passed. Now, men, shall we retire to my new office and get organized?
That's not a bad idea.
Good. Until later, dear Katie.
Goodbye. Nice meeting you.
So long.
As the men leave, Katie flicks the ashes off her cigarillo. In his new office...
Mighty fine little office.
The kid walks around and looks over the place.
Ah, they've got rooms for us upstairs and everything. Oh, not a bad-looking set of hardware. I think I'll check it out.
He walks over to the gun case and removes a rifle from the rack. He cocks it.
Mm-hmm. Here, Jason.
He tosses the rifle, which hits Jason's belly. George picks it up.
Here, Marshal. Next time, just hand Jason things. Out in the broad daylight, if possible.
Sorry, Jason.
Yeah. That's all right. Which brings us to a point we better discuss, kid. Now, we're none of us as fast as we used to be. It might help if we sort of planned a little strategy.
What do you mean, strategy?
Mm-hmm. Just in case of trouble.
I only know one way to face trouble. Head on.
Well, that's maybe all right for a young buck, but... with an old elk, he stays alive a lot longer using his brains instead of his antlers.
Amos barges in and hands the kid the paper.
Well, there she is. Front page news.
The headline reads, The Baltimore Kid, New Marshal.
And I mentioned you three, too.
Yeah, that makes me feel a whole lot better. Mm-hmm. Kid, we got business to talk about.
Later, Nash, later. I want to read this.
I passed them out all over town. You ought to heard the folks buzz.
That don't sound like no buzz to me.
Nash strides over to the window and draws back the curtain. When the men look out, they see three guys galloping their horses down Main Street and firing their pistols into the air.
That's three of the Bar X outfit letting off steam.
Is there a law against shooting off guns in town?
Well, if there ain't, there ought to be.
That's right.
It's pretty certain that those three fellas are breaking the law. You all stay here. I can handle this myself.
I'll go with you, kid.
No, I said I could handle it by myself.
Why don't we all go?
I just want to give him a little first-hand practice.
Well, all right, on one condition. Take off your gun belt and leave it here.
What?
If there should be trouble, which I doubt, at least they won't shoot an unarmed man. I don't want to be responsible for you, Nash.
Well, that's mighty thoughtful of you.
We'll have to do it my way or not at all.
All right, kid.
Nash looks at George.
Lead the way.
Then up to the ceiling. As the Bar X Cowboys shoot up the town, Nash and the kid step out onto the street.
You there. That's enough of that. You holster those guns now.
That don't do talking to us. Come on.
The three cowboys ride over to Nash and the kid.
You better get out of the street, Grandpa. You liable to get trampled.
You see this badge?
I'll be doggone. You must be part of a Wild West show.
I'm the marshal of this town, and I'm ordering you to holster those guns and stop disturbing the peace.
Oh, you're ordering.
That's right. And before you start arguing, it might be a good idea for you to find out just who you're facing.
Well, do tell. Who might that be?
Some call me the Baltimore Kid. Now, you've been warned.
Hell, we've been warned.
He lifts his gun.
Now, wait just a minute. Let me say one thing, young fellas. A long time ago, I learned it sometimes helps to glance up toward heaven before you get into gunplay.
Hey, what is this? One an old-time marshal, the other an old-time preacher.
Heed my words now. Just one glance up, it can make a big difference.
Well, I'll tell you. Old man, if I was going to glance up...
He looks up.
It'd be just to say a little prayer for you two old...
He stops. Then he looks up again to see George and Jason on the roof pointing their rifles at him.
Yes, sir. A little reflection helps, don't it?
Especially when you think about the fact it's the Baltimore kid you'd have to outshoot here.
They've had the chance, Nash.
All right, fellas, what's your play?
The three cowboys holster their pistols.
That's better. Now go ahead, have a drink if you want. But just keep things quiet.
The cowboys nod, turn their horses around, and ride off. When Nash looks up at the roof, George salutes him. Nash pats the unsuspecting kid on the shoulder, and the two head back to the marshal's office, where George and Amos quickly escort Jason to a chair, then scramble to sit down themselves. As the three men stretch out and pretend to be relaxed, Nash and the kid come in the door.
Hey, you all finished them cowboys already?
You didn't even watch?
Heck, kid, we seen you in action so many times it's kind of getting to be old hat.
You backed down when they thought about who I was, right, Nash?
Yeah, that's right, kid.
Old Nash tried to use religion on him. But in the long run, it's like I said. When there's trouble, you have to meet it head on.
Yeah, there's no denying that now, kid. If there's trouble, we gotta meet it head on.
Nash winks at George and Jason, who nod in agreement. Next day, the kid struts smartly down the main street, tipping his hat to the ladies. The mayor greets him.
Well, afternoon, kid.
Mayor, not making your rounds, you see?
Yeah, I like to make sure things are quiet.
I'm surprised to see you by yourself. Where's all your deputies?
Oh, I guess they're taking an afternoon nap. This job is kind of a strain on them, understand?
Yes, of course, huh?
Of course, there's no need.
They look up and see a drifter shooting at a row of gas lanterns hanging in front of the saloon.
Excuse me, Your Honor.
The kid walks over to confront the drifter, who is leaning against the corner of the saloon, reloading his pistol.
Pardon me, friend, but just what do you think you're doing?
That'd be some target practice, that's what I'm doing. I want you to get out of the way there.
I'm sorry, I can't let you do that here. Now, if you take a ride outside the city limits, you can practice all you want.
You telling me I gotta leave town?
That's what I'm telling you.
Well, now, let me tell you where you can go. You can go...
Suddenly, his body stiffens and his eyes widen with fear. The kid smiles and nods.
You recognize me, huh? That's right, friend. I'm the Baltimore Kid. And I'm telling you to holster that gun.
Yes, sir.
He holsters his gun.
And then I want you to pay the man for the lanterns you broke.
Yes, sir.
Looking back over his shoulder, the kid beams at the mayor, who raises his dukes in a silent cheer. When the kid heads into the saloon, the drifter turns and looks around the corner of the building, where Nash is holding a gun in his back.
You hear the man, get.
As the drifter takes off, Nash holsters his gun. In the saloon, George plays poker.
Deputy?
The kid beckons him.
Yes, sir, Marshal.
George stops playing.
Frenchie. I know how much collateral is here, so don't get sticky fingers.
He gets up and walks over to join the kid near the bar.
Yes, sir, Marshal.
Hardly expected to find you here, George.
Well, I'm just sitting in there to be sure that that was an honest game.
And is it?
It must be. I won the last five straight hands. Why don't you come over and have a hand?
If you say it's honest, I believe you, George.
George's eyes light up.
You do? Well, I'll just go out there and check it in again, Marshal.
As George heads back to the poker game, the kid moseys up to the bar.
What'll it be, Marshal?
Milk, please.
The barman gapes.
Cow's milk?
Have you got any other kind?
No, sir.
Then that'll just have to do, won't it?
Yes, sir.
As the barman goes to fetch the milk, Katie saunters over to the kid.
Well, how's it going, kid?
Fine, fine, Miss Katie.
Good.
I hate to say it, but you're looking kind of pale.
Oh, we've been very busy.
You've been working too hard. Indoors all the time, too. Now, why don't I come around late this afternoon and take you out for a drive?
A drive?
I want to get acquainted with the countryside.
Well...
Your company would be a pleasure.
Well, all right. Why don't you pick me up a little after four?
I'll do that.
Good. I'll see you then.
As Nash walks down the main street of town, he runs into Amos.
How are you, Nash?
Amos?
You're looking pretty grim.
Well, I've just been worried lately about keeping up the sham. I ain't sure it's fair to the kid nor to the town either.
Well, did you talk to the mayor about it?
Yeah, just now. He's going to send for a big-name marshal to take over. Trouble is, it'll be at least a week or more before he gets here. So I reckon we'll have to hang on a while longer.
I think it's wonderful the job you all been doing with the kid so far.
Well, it ain't so wonderful. The kid's deserving. All we're trying to do is give him some confidence again.
They look down the street, where a carriage stands in front of the saloon. The kid helps Katie into the carriage.
Well, now, when a man starts to squire a girl and she's not half his age, looks to me, Nash, like you gave the kid all the confidence a man will need.
Nash looks sidelong at Amos as the kid and Katie ride by in their carriage. Next day, a stagecoach rolls down the main street. It stops in front of the hotel where Amos and the kid are standing. The kid steps up to the coach door.
Welcome to Waco, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome. I'm the town marshal here.
Yeah, this here is the Baltimore Kid.
Now, I want you to stay here to be nice and pleasant. Just as long as nobody breaks the rules, I'll do my job to keep it as pleasant as possible. Feel free to call on me any time, any hour.
You'd better call on you in the next 5 minutes, because that's as long as we're going to be here.
Oh, then I'm interfering with your refreshment time. Well, go ahead and enjoy yourselves, folks, and do come back and visit us again sometime as soon as possible.
The passengers get out of the coach.
Madam, may I show you the way?
And follow the kid. The last to get out is a dark-haired man. When Amos sees him, the newspaper man frowns. The man heads toward the saloon. Amos looks up and down the street. When he spots Nash walking along the sidewalk, he hurries over to him.
Nash? You the official stage greeter too, Amos?
The fella just got off the stage.
Fellas usually do.
But this fella I think I've seen before. I think he's one of the gang that robbed the Fargo office.
What?
Well, I got a good look at his face during the gunfight out here in the street. And I'm almost sure it's the very same man.
But where is he now?
He went into the saloon.
Show me.
They head across the street to the saloon. Peering in the front window...
They're at the end of the bar.
Amos points out the man who is talking to Katie.
Well, now, that's mighty interesting.
Well, you're gonna arrest him?
I don't know. He stays around town. I'll at least question him. You go on back to work, Amos. I'm going on in there and keep an eye on him.
Katie and the man retire to a back room.
You were a fool to come here. You shouldn't take a risk like this.
Lady, I took a whole lot bigger risk than this to get that $10,000 out of the Fargo office, and I want it.
What makes you think it's here in town?
None of us have it. And the paper says that one on that kid or whoever he was when they shot him.
Well, what do you mean, whoever he was? You knew him, didn't you?
Knew him? Listen. Now, me and my boys, we're minding our own business down by the border. And we pull a few jobs, you know. We run a few cattle, but nothing big. And this Yehu, he shows up in our camp, claims to be the famous Baltimore kid. Why, he even got his old ranger badge, a few clippings to prove it. So we believe him. Well, then he tells us about this Fargo job, and everybody voted to go along with him.
What, just because he said he was the Baltimore kid?
Lady, you know, most of the men that ride for me, they shoot good, but they don't think so good. You tell them that a famous man has a plan for a job. They figure it just got to be good if he thought it up. So they voted to throw in with him, and I agreed.
All right, well, you made a mistake. But you are making a bigger one by showing up now.
I don't think so. Just a passenger on a through stage, and besides, I figure maybe you could tell me about that money.
Me?
Mm.
Why me?
Well, now once we agreed to throw in with that fake Baltimore kid, he told us to meet him here in Waco.
So?
Well, he said if there was any hitch in our plans, we could get in touch with him through you.
Well, yeah, but he had me fooled, too. I thought he was the Baltimore kid.
Did you?
Of course.
Well, maybe you did. Then again, maybe you didn't. At any rate, he had that money pouch on him when we left the Fargo office. And then we had that fight out in the street. You remember that? Now, I figure that during that fight, he could have slipped the money to you.
Oh, well, that's ridiculous. He was busy fighting for his life.
Well, what happened to him?
Well, I don't know. Everyone naturally assumed that one of you got away with it.
Well, not everyone. I mean, not the one that's really got it. You may be right. It could have been anybody in that fight. The smoke was thick. There was a lot of confusion.
Remember?
Mm. Who was it reached that body first after we lit out?
Oh, it was the newspaper man, I think.
Yeah, well, what's his name?
Amos Polk.
Amos Poe. Well, then he could have grabbed the pouch and just slipped it in his office.
Yeah. Or like you say, it could have been anyone on the street during the fight.
Yeah. Well, here's my stage about ready to pull out.
Well, look, I'm really sorry I couldn't help you. It seems you're out of luck.
No, it's this town's one side of luck, because I can round up my boys by tomorrow, and then we're coming back here.
Oh, but that's very dangerous. Well, the real Baltimore kid is Marshall here now.
That joke? I saw him. There ain't no old man going to keep me from getting that money. You see, we're going to tree this town, and then we're going to start with that newspaper man and anybody else who was in on that fight. So if I was you, I'd stay off the street tomorrow morning, because it ain't going to be safe. Well, one more for the dust, huh?
He swigs down a jigger of whiskey, plunks the glass on the table, and picks up his hat. As he heads back into the saloon, the kid joins Nash at the bar.
Well, Nash, keeping out of the sun?
Hello, kid.
Come on, make the rounds with me.
Well, I don't know, kid.
The man approaches the two men.
Say, it's a nice time you got here.
We think so.
You plan on staying long?
No. I'm just passing through.
Let's come back and visit us sometime.
You can count on it.
You stage ought to be leaving any minute. You wouldn't want to miss it, would you?
The man nods goodbye and heads for the door.
Nice fellow.
Yeah, real nice.
Nash starts for the door, followed by the kid. Stepping out onto the sidewalk, they watch the man cross the street and get into the stagecoach.
Get up, man! Up!
Well, I guess I better make my rounds.
Well, maybe I'll walk away with you.
Yeah, come on.
They start down the street.
Say, how are you and that little gal, Katie, getting along?
Nice. Very nicely. She's a great comfort.
Uh-huh. You said you remembered her being nice to you while she was still a drunk.
Yes, I remember her sitting and talking to me.
She's a sweet child. She really is.
Yeah. Did you tell her much about yourself? I mean, about who you really was?
I really don't remember what we talked about. Why?
Oh? Just curious.
Come to think of it, I remember showing her some of my old clippings.
Yeah. Them clippings that was in the wallet that you lost, huh?
Yeah.
Well, that means you must have lost that wallet after you got here in Waco.
You know something? That fellow that impersonated me must have found that wallet here, huh?
Yeah, something like that.
Well, it's a thing of the past now. I don't suppose we ever will know that fellow's real name. Shall we check out a few saloons?
No, you go ahead, kid. All this fresh air has made me kind of drowsy.
Of course. Don't overdo it.
Oh, don't worry, I won't.
That night, Katie leaves the saloon carrying a satchel. Nash gets up from behind a row of barrels and follows her to the stable.
I'll be waiting for you. There she is, all satchel ready to go.
Oh, perfect. I just wanted to ride out and take a few things to a sick friend.
Well, she'd get you there with the swiftness of the wind.
Oh, good. Oh, dear.
Is there something wrong?
Yes. There was a basket of food I wanted to take. I think I left it on the bar.
Would you like me to fetch it for you?
Oh, would you, Tom? That would be so kind of you.
I'd be back in 2 shakes of a lamb's tail.
Thank you.
When Tom leaves, Katie goes over to a storage locker in the corner. She opens it and removes a Wells Fargo mailbag.
Well, now.
She turns to find Nash.
You come up in the world, girl. That's a heap more valuable than lifting a man's wallet now, ain't it?
Later in the jailhouse...
I just can't believe it.
The kid shakes his head. Nash walks over to Katie's cell.
Well, are you going to tell him the truth or shall I?
Kid, don't listen to him. It's all a pack of lies. You can believe me. You know you can believe me.
He can believe his eyes a whole lot better.
Jason, George, and Amos watch as Nash crosses the room and picks up the bag.
Here's the money, kid. She had it all the time.
Kid, it's a mistake. It's all a mistake. Well, I've been your friend even before you were Marshal.
Yeah, she was your friend when she found out you were the Baltimore kid. Then she lifted your credentials so her boyfriend could use them to recruit a gang. She was just using you, kid, that's all.
The kid closes his eyes and rubs his forehead.
All right, so I was using him. He was nothing but an old drunk anyway. But what about all of you?
You leave us out of this, Missy.
Oh, no, you're such great ones for the truth. Well, why don't you tell him the whole truth? You've all been covering up for him without his knowing it. Now, why would you do a thing like that? What's in it for you?
Yeah.
Now, how come you kept it from the kid? Everybody in town knows about it. Those cowboys came in the saloon and talked about how you had them all covered while the kid thought he was facing them down.
That's enough.
Oh, it ain't half enough, mister. Because all the tricks in your bag ain't gonna help you when Sam Braham brings his gang into town tomorrow morning.
Graham?
It was his gang rode with the fake kid. And he is coming in tomorrow after that money. You old mossbacks don't stand a chance.
Do you hear that, kid? We better make plans to...
Nash looks around, but the kid is left. Nash stares at George. George stares at Jason. Jason stares at Amos. Amos stares back at Nash. The saloon is buzzing with drinkers and gamblers when George barges in and hurries up to the bar.
Have you seen the Baltimore kid?
The barmaid shakes her head. George gulps down a whiskey and heads for the door. Outside, he meets Nash, Jason, and Amos.
Well, he ain't in there.
Well, he ain't been in the hotel bar, neither.
We never found him.
Well, we can't just let it go. We better recheck the same places again.
I'm gonna check that saloon at the hotel just one more time.
As George, Jason, and Amos head off, Tom comes out of the saloon. With a bottle, Nash calls after him.
Is it to me, sir, you're speaking?
You in the habit of drinking private?
Oh, I wouldn't think of doing a thing like that. This isn't for me. The Marshal sent me to fetch it.
Uh-huh. You over at your place?
He's that.
Well, here, I'll take it to him.
Hmm?
But go on and have a drink on me.
Well, that's a fine decent man you are. Much obliged.
As Nash walks off with the bottle, Tom jigs back to the saloon.
Here.
At the stable, Nash hands the bottle to the kid, who is already soused. As Nash stands over him, the kid quaffs down a mouthful. Then he hands the bottle to Nash.
No.
Nash sits down beside the kid.
I figure I'll need a clear head when that come morning when that Bram gang rides in. You know, you ain't the first man who's wrong about a woman, kid.
Is that all I was wrong about, Nash? A woman?
Well, we was...
No. No. I was wrong in thinking that a new suit and a fresh shape could take me back 20 years. There I was, promenading all over town, thinking I had my old magic back. Thinking everybody respected me again.
Well, the important thing is you respected yourself again, kid. It's all I can see you was lacking before was self-respect.
Sure, sure. I owe a lot to you and the boys for that. And the price you put out for these duds.
Well, we just wanted to help you get on your feet, that's all.
They've been kicked out from under me again. And now I'm back where I belong. Nowhere.
Now, look, kid. I ain't one to lecture. A smart man, and that's what I figure you are. A smart man. Too smart for this.
Sure. I'm smart. I'm smart, all right. I'm a smart saloon swamper. That's all I can handle now.
There's a lot you can handle. Once you can face that one fact that keeps gnawing at you. You're past your prime. You can never be the man you once was. But that don't mean you can't be just as good a man in other ways.
Doing what? Delivering papers for Amos?
There's nothing wrong with delivering papers. Nothing wrong with any job so long as it's honest. You said it before, kid. You got too much pride. And I agree. What you gotta do is find a decent height. You try to stand too tall. You want everyone looking up at you. And if they don't, then you fall down in the gutter and let them look down on you. Now, there's a middle ground there, kid. And it's just about eye level. Where you can look at the world straight in the face and without shame.
Right now, I just assume the world had a kind of a blurry look, Dash. If you don't mind.
Yeah, I mind. I mind plenty. But I can't spend the night sitting around here while you wallow in your self-pity.
Fine. Why don't you and the boys clear out of here? We're all finished anyway.
Well, maybe you are, but we ain't. There's a gang riding into town tomorrow for a shootout. And if we leave, there ain't nobody to stop them. Now, maybe that badge don't mean nothing to you. And I never knowed a ranger to take on a job and then quit when the going got tough.
Never?
Never. Till now.
As Nash gets up and stalks out, the kid furrows his brow, rubs his forehead, and squirms uncomfortably. Next morning, Amos watches as Tom and his helpers set up a threshing machine and blower. George piles up bales of hay. Some horse wagons block the main street. The mayor runs over and starts to move one of the wagons.
No, leave that be.
You don't want to leave this hole here, do you?
Strategy, man, strategy. You'll see.
Sure, it's good strategy. Providing them outlaws come in from the east of town.
I wager they will. They'll want the sun behind them and in our eyes.
Jason squints.
That won't bother me, none. We take up our positions right here, do we?
George and me got special jobs.
Jason, I've been sitting up all night long, thinking.
George, you take the stable man and his helpers and go fix that hay, would you?
All right, George.
George runs over to Tom.
Hey, Mac! Come on. Come with you, George.
As Tom and George head for the stable, Nash turns to the mayor.
Now, when they get back and take up their position, that's going to leave me and Amos and you behind the barricade.
I'm sorry I couldn't get more men, but there just ain't much civic pride around here anymore.
Oh, we got enough.
He looks at Amos and Jason.
I hope.
The kid is still moping when Tom and George burst into the stable.
There's only this bit here where the marsh is resting.
Kid, we hate to disturb you, but we're going to need them bales of hay.
Go ahead.
The kid grabs his whiskey bottle and gets up.
That's it. I have a mountain to the doubt and back.
As Tom and George carry a bale out to the stable, the kid slumps down on another bale in the corner. He puts down the whiskey bottle and holds his head. With Amos and the mayor at his side, Nash surveys the setup on Waco's main street. George is on a balcony overhead with bales of hay on the railing. The threshing machine and blower are in place. Two wagon barricades are blocking the main street. And Jason is in position behind a window of the saloon.
Nat?
Yeah?
I've heard a newspaper editor stand on a dangerous assignment, but this is downright ridiculous.
Oh, cheer up, Amos. Just think how you can write a first-hand account.
Yeah, I know, but...
Here they come.
As the three men scramble behind the wagons, Sam and his gang of seven outlaws ride into town and stop at the first barricade.
Well, you boys better try and tail and run. Otherwise, there's going to be a lot of bloodshed.
Now, that don't bother us, none, old-timer. I reckon we got more blood to spare than you have. Let's take them, boys.
Sam's gang charges down the street and through the opening in the first barricade. But they pull up short when they come to the second barricade. Nash and Amos push a wagon in to close the opening. Sam's gang is trapped. Tom starts the thresher and blows hay onto the outlaws. George throws a bale of hay off the balcony, knocking an outlaw off his horse. In the stable, the kid hears the commotion outside. Cattle come running out of the saloon and into the street. Inside the saloon, Jason is herding them past the bar and gambling tables. And out the front door, where they surround Sam's gang. As Nash, Amos, and the mayor take shots at the outlaws, Jason climbs up on the bar and crawls along it on his hands and knees. A barmaid crouches behind the bar. With his blurred vision, Jason notices her.
You girls, you!
You mind your manners!
She slaps him so hard he falls off the bar. Outside, as Tom's thresher blows more hay, Nash picks off one of the outlaws. Amos keeps firing. George continues to pummel Sam's gang with bales of hay. And Jason drives more cows out of the saloon and chases them down the street. George's well-aimed bales knocks an outlaw off his horse. The kid joins Nash and Amos behind the barricade.
Oh, welcome, kid.
Guess once you're a ranger, you don't stop. Not while you're perpendicular.
The kid starts firing at Sam's gang. When George tries to throw another bale, he crashes through the railing and falls to the ground.
Amos! You better see to George.
Right.
As Amos heads off, Sam dismounts and climbs into a wagon. Two other outlaws scramble to the sidewalk. From behind a barrel, Jason fires. He shoots the hat off Nash's head.
Watch which way you're shooting, Jason!
Taking aim, the kid shoots one of the outlaws on the sidewalk. Nash shoots the other one. Sam shoots the kid in the shoulder. As the kid reels backward, Nash shoots Sam. The rest of Sam's gang give up.
Ceasefire! Looks like you men had enough. Escort these men to the jail, Mr. Mayor.
Don't you worry, Mr. Crawford.
George, say something. Give me a clue.
Amos searches through the hay.
George? George, where are you, George?
George crawls out of the hay.
Oh, wait a minute. Amos, that ain't hay. It's me.
Oh, there you are, George.
George struggles to his feet, and the two old codgers stand unsteadily with their guns at the ready.
Well, kid, that was just like...
Nash turns.
Kid!
And sees the kid slumped against the wagon.
Funny how many things can run through a man's head in one night. This morning a word turned up I haven't thought of for years. Brazos.
The kid collapses in Nash's arms. At the cemetery...
Dear friends, I thank you all for coming here today to pay tribute to the Baltimore Kid. He was our friend and our comrade in arms. There's a whole lot more I could say about him, but I reckon that that marking on the gravestone says it all. Now, most of his life was doing good for others. And I'm mighty glad the dear Lord saw fit to lead the kid back to his rightful place before the end. That place was alongside of us, just like we're standing here alongside of him now. And in a way, you know, it's kind of fitting that of all of us, the kid was the first to go. He always did like to lead the way. Rangers.
George and Jason join Nash in a salute.
May he rest in peace.
The three ex-Rangers head for their horses, followed by Amos and the mayor.
Don't you worry about the kid's obituary. I'll write a good one.
You do that, Amos. May your road be smooth.
Thank you.
The three old-timers mount their horses and head off down the trail. Yep. Town behind, they are joined by another man on horseback, the Baltimore Kid.
Well, how'd it go?
Splendid, kid. You should have been there.
I'm glad I wasn't, all things considered.
Nash did you real proud, kid. Almost made me cry.
Well, the important thing is, the Baltimore Kid is dead and buried with the kind of respect he deserved. Now you don't have to worry about living up to the past reputation.
I suppose Nash is right, but I'm going to miss the kid a little bit.
Oh, he'll be remembered.
I hope so. Well, anyway, I'll be starting all over again with something I've been doing all my life.
Wait a minute. You ain't going to start rangering again.
Oh, no. No. No, I'm going to open up a little gun shop somewhere up north, maybe California. I may not be able to handle them as well as I used to, but I can sure still fix them.
Yeah, and you'll do just fine, too. Well, Rangers, it's time we split up. But we'll all get together again, if maybe one of us gets in trouble and yells Brazos.
Jason ponders a moment.
Brazos!
Startled, George flinches. The kid chuckles and Nash smiles.
After all, how much trouble can a man get into? I gotta go home and get married.
Hey! Let's all go back to Jason's wedding and give him some morale support.
Yeah.
Brazos!
Brazos!
Yeah! Brazos! 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 Yeah!
The four old hands ride off into the sunset. The end. This described version of The Over the Hill Gang Rides Again was created by Audio Vision Canada. The narrative description was written by Ken Daw, narrated by Imali Pereira, and produced by Valerie Hunter and Marco Sorin. Cast: Walter Brennan as Nash Crawford, Fred Astaire as the Baltimore Kid, Edgar Buchanan as Jason Fitch, Andy Devine as Amos Polk, Chill Wills as Gentleman George, Paul Richards as Sam Brim, Lana Wood as Katie. For information on other Describe movies and audio cinema presentations available from AudioVision Canada, call toll-free 1-800-567-6755.